Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, who's the most, David Von Strahn.
Hello, Charlottesville. It is Sunday. It is August the 26th, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strahn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Nefarious Rocker, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Just a little guy with ugly feet trying to get through the darkness.
Trying to get home.
Speaking of the darkness, midterms in November, by the way. But that's neither here nor there.
Put more darkness in office.
Put more darkness in office. More brown is what's going down this 2018. I hope so. It's just all about representation and just perspective, and I think all of those things will help.
Aretha would want you to put
Laura, don't even
Aretha,
oh.
She wants you.
See, why'd you got
want you to put
why'd you have to bring it up? And this is one of those things where you just like realize the impact that a person has on like America after their death, and it's really tragic to understand how much of an importance she was to civil rights. She was running fundraisers with Harry Belafonte for Martin Luther King Jr. when he didn't have any money coming in. They were raising funds for him to keep doing the things that he was doing with his group. So people don't know stuff like that. People don't know like the little things that celebrities do to make them the people that they are. And it wasn't just a voice that that resonated, you know, with everybody, with Aretha. It was just like this, like everybody was talking about, like she was actually like a queen. She had this elegance and grace and just demeanor about her that was just so special. And
she was terrified of flying.
I mean, rightfully so. Like, I mean, if God meant for us to fly, he would have given us wings. Like, I think she wrote a song like that. No, I'm just playing. I didn't know that either. But that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, look what happened to Aaliyah. I mean, sorry, too soon.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying she will be missed. And that was the one bad thing that happened this week. I think everything else that happened this week was very uplifting, and you know. All of Trump's cronies, like not all of them, but a good amount of them going to jail or being indicted, about to go to jail.
And who saw that coming? Really? I mean, that completely out of the blue, I thought like for sure that this was just going to be the cleanest, the absolute most pristine administration. I mean, after the wave of indictments from the previous 8 years,
after the scandal that transpired, I mean,
that transpired. I thought for sure that this one was just gonna, something about the look in his eye just said, he's just gonna be the most honest person that we can imagine. I am shocked. Shocked am I to find corruption in this establishment.
Shocked am I.
Indeed. Yeah, ain't nobody surprised. Like, it's just a matter, like, I don't know. I think it's all just a matter of time. But that's neither here nor there. We'll find out more about it later. The saga continues. America burns. Literally, America burns. Shout out to California. Hope y'all are doing well. But let's get back to Charlottesville, shall we? Let's not focus. Like as our great president says, let's not focus on things that are out there. Let's just focus on things that are going on in house. Hashtag nationalism. We're gonna go to Mike Pizarro. What's good, Mike?
What's going on? What's up?
Chilling. So, Mike Pizarro, a.k.a. Mike White, is putting on this lovely event called Acapella Hip Hop at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar, going down August 29th here in Charlottesville, Virginia. So, tell me, Mr. Bizarre, where'd you get the idea for acapella hip hop? Street corner. But yeah, so talk about it. What do you consider to be acapella hip hop, and what would we be seeing at the acapella hip hop show on August 29th?
This is something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I mean, every hip hop show, it's always dope. Especially with the artists that we have in town, you never really get to like fully hear the bars, though. You know, I always liked watching like the Def Jam, like the Poetry Slams and stuff like that. So that's kind of what this is going to be like. So we've got some of the best rappers in town.
Talk about
doing
it.
Doing this joint, yeah. So we've got we got Keese, we got Tech. We got Fellow Man. We got this dude out of Waynesboro, Gabe Curry.
Fellow Man does the title track to our show, if everybody's not familiar to that. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety.
See, we got myself, Tech, me.
You got bars?
I'm going to be doing a little thing.
You got bars? You going to be doing a little something here?
I don't know about that. It's a little early in the morning.
Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
And then, who else was it? Keese. Fellow Man, me, Gabe, Tech, and I'm a bad person.
It's a dope lineup already, It's a dope lineup already. So, so here at Homegrown, we're actually, when we talk about local artists, we're not only talking about the event, but we also talk about the development of the event. So, when were you just sitting around thinking, hey man, I'm not hearing the bars enough. I want to put on a show that's just straight up bars. For the people.
Oh yeah, Kevin Skinner, my bad. Sunday.
No worries.
Sunday's gonna be there too.
Shout out to Kevin Skinner.
I've had this idea for a while. I mean, a lot of times when you perform, you know, obviously you're concerned about your set as a whole. Like, I hope this set was dope. I hope people liked it. Mm-hmm. But you know, as a writer, as somebody who like sits there and every bar is personal to you, every lyric matters, every bar matters, every line matters. You kind of wonder, like, man, did they hear like everything that I had to say? Mm-hmm. And this will give people that chance to do that, and hopefully it's something that'll continue. I mean, you know, it's the expression of thought, feeling, emotion, ideas, kind of beyond the capacity of just like conversation. You know, you're using
right
metaphors, simile, wordplay, like the whole craft. And I think this will give people a chance to like really hear what people have to say. You know, that's the thing about hip hop. You know, you look at the rock scene in Charlottesville, and it's more of like a social thing. Like people go to drink, they dance, the music is
background
kind of background music. But hip hop artists, especially the guys that we have in here in town,
we're there for
the
MCs.
At least I can speak for myself, at least, but I think I can speak for everybody else when I say that, you know, we make the art that we make because we have stuff to say. We make the art that we make because there's something that we need to express. So I've been wanting to do this acapella thing for a while.
I will give you that. There is something about hip hop, and especially in the live scene of hip hop, that is more presentative than it is rock. I mean, we can go into genres like metal. There's more of a presentative, like, you know, Slipknot has a mass, you know, and things like that. So there's a way of their type of presentability and what they try to do to create a show, quote unquote. Hip hop is more different, and the more authentic that you come, the more that people relate and the more that people give you that credence and that clout and that quote unquote pass of authenticity. It's like, all right, we're going to give you your dues. So talk about that, and talk about the hip hop scene in general in Charlottesville, and the I would call it the uprising, because like you talk about Keese and you talk about Fellow Man, you talk about Tech. We got a lot of MCs here that are really on the climb and that are really starting to plug themselves, starting to plug their brand and make themselves known throughout the state. Like you could say DMV. So it's really coming to a place of its own. So talk about being in that atmosphere and create, and like I said, going back to creating this event.
Yeah, so it's crazy how like hard a lot of these dudes work. Like I'll say that I'm lazy when it comes to when it comes to booking, you know, I do my thing. But these guys, write so much and they put themselves out there so much. I mean, you look at the hard work that Keese does. That dude puts in so much
work. And his videos, like, y'all need to go see Keese's videos.
So
like,
good.
It's really brilliant work. Like, I would call him, like, our Jada. Like, okay. He's our Jada.
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair.
And I think, I would hate to, like, say that to his face and, like, because people want to be their own people and, like, they want to develop their own sense of self. So, but I really think that what he does is so true to his experience. And
yeah.
That's all he's going to express, and nobody can really take that away
from
him.
I think a lot of the stuff he raps about, too, is very personal to Charlottesville and where, like, the neighborhood that he came up in, mm-hmm. and the people that he knows and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I'm excited about at the show is that, I mean, dope lineup, but each artist has something to bring to the table. Like, each artist has, like, you know, you've got Tech, who's like a wordsmith. That dude will dance around a beat, and it's like somebody shredding on guitar. Like, mm-hmm. dude can rip. You know, like I was saying, Keese, he's got a lot to talk about, you know, coming up through struggle and working hard. You've got a fellow man who gets very political in the right way, talks about what needs to be talked about, a lot of stuff that's not getting talked about. Kevin gets real personal with it, talks a lot about relationships, stuff like that. Gabe Curry, he's like a storyteller. He comes through and talks about, you know, a lot about struggling, a lot about, you know, pushing through and doing what you got to do. I talk a lot about internal struggle, you know, whether it's addiction or mental health, whatever. So it's going to be a diverse show. It's not just going to be like a generic hip-hop show where everybody talks about the same stuff.
Well, I will say this, homie, and I don't mean to jump in, but you said storytelling. And that's exactly, like, jump in if I'm wrong, Clinton, but you sound like you're describing a storytelling show for, like, usually the people that come in, you know,
Know,
for like all the liberals that come in here and talk about, yeah, I'm going to do this like poetry storytelling show. Everybody should come to it. It's going to be really interesting. And I think when people think hip hop, you know, there's a certain atmosphere and there's a certain perspective that is assumed.
Yeah.
But straight up, all y'all are doing is a storytelling show. And that's real. And that's what hip hop is.
These guys are, you know, it's more than just hip hop. You know, these guys are writers. These guys are talking about stuff that's personal to them, you know, and stuff that other people can relate to. And I think, you know, when myself and other artists come and they do a show and we rap about stuff that's like personal to us, we also hope that it ends up being personal to someone else. You know, mm-hmm. we hope that somebody comes to the show and they hear some bars that resonate with them and they're like, damn, like, that's me too. You know, like, I feel that, like, I understand this experience. And so if somebody can walk away feeling like not alone in their experience in life, that's, you know, a better feeling than getting views or recognition. You know, you want people to feel you.
Exactly. And we're going to take a break. We're going to pay some bills, and we'll be right back with Mike Bizarro talking about acapella hip-hop at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar, August 29th. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey, it's Malk. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
15 past hour! And this is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Mike Bizarro is our guest in the house talking about acapella hip hop, Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar, August 29th. I don't know why I became an android. That just happened though. he's like, whatever, dude. that's your bag. So again, development. When did you start thinking about the show? When did it kind of come to fruition, the August 29th. We're going to lock in this date. Talk about it.
I think the first time that I had the idea was when I was at the Nine Pillars block party. Shout out Nine Pillars.
Nine Pillars. Always dope.
And I was just thinking about format, I think. And I was thinking about different things we could do to kind of shake up the format. All the shows are dope.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, man, what could be different? What could be intimate? You know, what could really connect people with the artist? And I think that, you know, almost like a poetry slam sort of Def Jam style intimate show at a small venue, no beats, just bars, just lyrics, where you get to hear every single word, is a great way to connect people to the artist and what they're talking about. So I've been thinking about this for months, and it took me a long time to just, you know, get my stuff together and and put it into action. But, you know, that's the great thing about Charlottesville. That's the great thing about how the hip-hop scene has evolved here, because, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, there might have been, like, one place where you could book a hip-hop show.
Right.
Now, I mean, of course, Annie Room's gone, but there's still, like, 5, 6 places where you could book a show.
Shout out to Twisted Branch T-Bazaar always bringing the hip-hop and always
Rugged
bringing
Arts,
a place to
that.
Charlottesville. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So shout out to Twisted Branch, always giving an opportunity to hip-hop artists here in Seville.
So, yeah, and all I did was I, like, kind of knew the girl who was Carly, who's booking stuff at the T-Bazaar.
That helps.
And I literally just walked in there one day and was like, hey, actually, no, I saw her at Nine Pillars and I mentioned it as I had the idea.
Dope.
And then, like, 3 months later, I just walked into the tea house and I was like, yo, can we do this? And she was like, yeah, I'll email you some dates. And
so
we just threw it together.
So I got to ask the rough question. Well, maybe not the rough question, but I got to ask the question, which is, are you at all worried about the viability of this concept? Because it seems to me you're taking out, like, one of the legs of the stool. Because I've always thought about hip hop as being this of being at its core this interplay between the rhythm of the rapper and the rhythm of the beat. This interplay between words and beat, and to take out the beats and just leave it in the air like that.
For sure.
Are you at all concerned about, how is this going to fly? Or are you, like, totally convinced that this is going to go?
I think this is going to go. It's not like, you know, this is the end-all, be-all format. We're still going to do regular hip-hop shows. And I think what we might do, too, is do it kind of round-robin style instead of just having people sit up there for, like, 15, 20-minute sets, you know, set by set, artist by artist.
Yeah.
We might do it round-robin, you know, give people two until everybody's done all the material they got, keep it fresh, keep the audience, like, you know, wondering what's going to come up next. And like I said, because the diversity that we have in the lineup, you know, you're going to hear a lot of different stories. But it's still hip-hop, you know, because hip-hop is more than just the music. It's what we're talking about. It's, you know, it's the movement. It's discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So
Do you feel that there are times when what you're, because let's get back to, because it seems like that's what you're saying at the beginning. How much do you feel at times that what you're saying, what you're talking about, gets lost underneath the flash, underneath the music, underneath the power? Because, you know, a really good beat can you know, there's nothing like it, but it can take you away, and you can spend a lot of time.
For sure.
And something that people consistently say across many genres of music is that people don't listen to lyrics.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's especially at a show, you know, it's, I think a lot of people are kind of out of their element at a hip hop show, in the sense that, like, hold on, let me rearrange my thoughts here. I mean, you come to a show, you've got the music, you've got a bunch of different people there, and there's these artists that maybe you haven't heard before, and there's these audience from maybe a different background than you. And so you might just be listening to the set as a whole. You might not be listening to it song by song by song. And so when we do, like, an intimate event like this and you have all of these different artists, you know, and all you're hearing is the lyrics, you might connect with somebody you didn't expect to connect with. I don't think that people just don't listen to lyrics at hip-hop shows. I don't think that's the case at all. But I think that some of it does get lost when you're experiencing the show as a whole instead of just, you know, material by material, song by song.
That's true. I dig that. I can actually attest to that, like, being at a show and, like, sometimes music being so loud that I can't hear what the person's talking about. And sometimes I'm, like, trying to concentrate and be like, yo, what is this guy?
And some of these rappers, you know, they the flow skills are so impressive, you might not hear everything that they're saying.
Exactly.
You know, you got some people who are, they're wordsmiths, but they're also flow artists. So.
And again, Keys, who makes songs with amazing beats, you just might be like, that bass line
for
is
sure.
so dope. That's all I'm listening to the whole time. And you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do as a hip hop head? Sometimes if the beat is so hard, like, I'll forget that the other person is rapping and I'll kind of like freestyle to my own joint, yeah. like on top of it. I don't know if you do the same thing when you're in the car.
A little
like,
bit.
Like,
yeah.
You know, just kind of thinking about what you would put on top
exactly.
of that beat.
Exactly. It's like, man, I wish I could crush a beat
like
this.
Yeah, put it on SoundCloud.
When
and
I heard
like,
that Anderson .Paak bubbling track, that beat, I was like, if I could kill a beat like that.
Exactly. So I see Clinton whipped out the headphones, so I think that means something. I think that means we're about
to
listen to
it. No, that's for our next. For
oh, okay. My bad. Oops. Oops. Well, I got to pressure you. We gonna hear some bars? Like,
I don't know, man.
You know, you
not
know,
a
you
not
know
a huge
pushing you, bro.
I'll know if I could keep it radio friendly, man.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. We'd rather not take the FCC hit. So I'm okay with that. So
let me ask, when you reached out to these other rappers, what was the reaction to the content?
Everybody, I think everybody here's hungry, and you know, everybody wants to express themselves in every way possible. Plus, I mean, we all know each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we might not like hang out
it's
every
nice,
day,
it,
but
I mean, yeah, it's
you
a
know,
small circle.
When the hip hop scene, you know, a couple years ago, really started to come into its own, when everybody really started to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these dudes have been in Finn Downey's studio. So if you don't know Finn Downey, he's a local producer, does amazing work when it comes to making beats and when it comes to like actually engineering tracks and stuff like that.
Really?
And that's honestly not just from shows, but from being in his studio. That's how I met most of these dudes, and more on a personal level. And so, I mean, I was able to, like, I'm friends with all these dudes on Facebook. I was able to just send them a message, and pretty much every single one of them was just like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. dope. Let's do it. And like I said, I mean, if you're an artist, you already have that hunger to express yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody was like, oh, yeah, you want mm-hmm. me to do an event where people yeah. hear all of my lyrics?
Yeah. They're and like, that's yeah. kind of, I remember I did the Art for the People event for the Black Mama's Bailout. And it was kind of the same thing. Like, I just put it on a Facebook group and I was like, yo, I heard all you guys are dope. And I kind of listened to all you guys. You are dope. Would you like to do this? And they were like, yeah. So, I mean, I think that the hip-hop community in Sevo is not only dope, like, lyrically, but, like, dope, like friendly, you know, friend-wise. And, like, just ready to, like, help and expose themselves at the jump
for
of the
sure.
hat. So, you know, I really appreciate being in a community like that.
Yeah, and, I mean, hopefully it continues to grow. I think that we should keep, like, reaching outside of the box and mm-hmm. Doing different types of shows. I mean, we'll always do, you know, the classic DJ, rapper, mm-hmm. pure hip-hop show. But, you know, I mean, why not do a show with a house band? We'll rap with a band, connect yeah. with the music like that. You
yeah,
know?
I went to a 90s retrospective at B.B. King that was exactly like that. So yeah, you should do so. I was actually about to ask that. So like, what else did Nine Pillars like open up for you, like conceptually? Like, what did it do for you that says like, hey, this is possible. I can, if they can do it, I can do it. I can do this. And if you could do anything, what would be next after this?
Remind people what Nine Pillars is.
Nine Pillars is basically, go ahead, Mike.
Nine Pillars is, it's like a week long hip hop festival mm-hmm. and it's all about the nine pillars of hip-hop. You
yeah.
know?
KRS-One's basic manifesto on the nine pillars of hip-hop. Yeah. I don't know exactly what those nine pillars represent, but one of them is community, education, yeah. Self-empowerment,
right.
Financial responsibility, things of that nature. So it's all structured based on KRS-One's idea and definition of hip-hop.
And they do, you know, so each day there's different events. There's, you know, like a graffiti showcase. They've got My personal favorite is the Block Party. That's a lot of fun.
Always.
You got live performances. The first year they had dudes break dancing, you know.
Always the Block
Party.
This
year they had like...
The Block Party should be 2 days long next year.
They had some like entrepreneurship going on. They had... There's this kid out there selling shoes. I mean, he was like, you know, in like high school out there like doing his thing. You know, and it's very community-based. Like when they do the No Filter rap battle, the whole community comes out. When they do the Block Party, the whole community comes out. And that's just an example of how hip hop's more than just the music. It's ideas and it's community.
And, preach.
And with that, plus, you know, the art itself, you know, that's like the pure most personal level. When you get the community together, and then you get real personal with it and try and establish a connection through words, you know, that's real right there. And so to keep it fresh, you know, because like we were talking about earlier, sometimes things get lost in your typical show. You know, sometimes you're just listening to the beat. Sometimes you're just doing that. You know, if we do different types of events, I think we can get, I mean, like... So like I said, we could do the thing with a house band where each of the rapper, you know, rehearses with the band, then we come to the show and, you know, we have different artists come in and rap with the band. You know, we could do a show where there's a live graffiti artist, you know, making some ill graphics while people are rapping, and then you have this physical representation of that show of what people are talking
about.
That's
actually a really dope idea.
You know, we could sit here and brainstorm and come up with all kinds of stuff. And when artists hear about stuff like that, they're like, yo, I want to be a part of that. Like, what about a live in-studio show that's live streamed? Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that would want to do that. There's people that want to listen to that.
And I want you to keep that going. And I want you to keep that going, honestly, Mike, for the rest of your life, because not a lot of people can do that. Not a lot of people can think of great shows for people to come to. Not a lot of people can think of great ideas for people to implement. Like, people can do the ideas, but not a lot of people can come up with that. So I don't want you to, like, you know, poo-poo that about yourself. Like, I really think you have a gift for, like, creating ideas for productions and presentations that people need see. So, yeah, keep that for going. Sure. Keep doing what you're doing.
Shout out to Fellow Man and Remy St. Clair, too,
always,
by the way.
Always.
They're out there doing stuff like that
so much
all
stuff.
The time, and they've been working mad hard.
And that's what hip-hop is. And that's what really hip-hop is about. It's about community. It's about knowing, you know, from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich, knowing exactly what's going down in your hood. It's about representation. It's about empowerment. It's about talking about the things in your community, like, straight up, and, like, being in touch with the people. And $200 a ticket for a show is not hip hop. $400 for a white t-shirt is not hip hop, Kanye. So I'm just speaking from the truth. Like, we keeping it real, keeping it authentic, keeping it local. That's how hip hop always is.
Most
and thank
definitely.
You for coming to the show, Mike. We're gonna have you back on after August 29th, and we're gonna talk about how amazing
Sounds
it is.
Good.
And you're gonna tell me your next 10 shows.
Sounds cool.
That's coming up.
I will. I'll work.
All right.
Gotcha.
So yeah, thank you
cool,
for coming
man.
To Homegrown. Awesome. So with that all being done, we're going to get over to the announcements. I'm going to figure out how to do this without my my finger being in the way. Are we ready for announcements? Here are some of the music events happening this week currently. Oh, this is all musical stuff. This is all musical stuff. That's cool. It's just mostly music. That's cool. I thought it was just going to be no artistic events. No. No plays are going down. Oh, I see it. All right. Let's just keep going. Shall we? Today, Randy Jackson, Sexual Chocolate, and Jonah Kane West at Pippin Hill Farm Vineyards. Every time I see Randy Jackson, that's just what I think of. Also, South Canal Street at Stone Mountain Vineyards. Tonight, Travis Elliott is at Rapture. August 28th, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. August 29th, Maddie Metcalf puts down the accordion and sits down at the piano at Fellini's. Also on August 29th, LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar. Seville expatriate Ezra Hamilton comes back to town for Ezra John and Friends at Rapture, Mojo Pie at Castle Hill, the Sally Rose Band at Stinson Vineyards, the Weed Eaters at Whiskey Jar, and Robert Jospe at Inner Rhythm. Robert Jospe and Inner Rhythm play Gypsy Hill Park in Stanton at our park at the Ix Art Park. And Ezra Hamilton plays Fellini's. And that's all August 29th. Jesus Christ. August 30th. Jamal Milner. Anita Byers. Davina Jackson. Ezra Hamilton. Ivan Orr. Jeff Lauterbach. Chris Redd. And Vic Brown from the Purple R Stalls for a two-set Prince tribute. Ow! At Friday after 5. Ow! At the Sprint Pavilion. Downtown. Downtown. August 30th, Rugged Arts Hip Hop Showcase at Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. Also on August 30th, Bobby Midnight Band at Glasshouse Winery and Timmy Riles at Dirty Nelly's. September 1st, Terry Alla Trio at Jefferson Vineyards. Ragged Mountain String Band at Albemarle Cider Works. Get Show Funk On with the Seville All Stars. And $12 Bacon at the XR Park. That's a band. All right, $12 Bacon. That makes sense. Here in Charlottesville. Also on September 1st, former guest Sarah White plays Batesville Market, Kendall Street Company at the Jefferson Theater, John Durth at Fellini's. Oh, every Friday, the Pickin' and Grinnin' Vocal and Musical Jam at James River Brewery in Scottsville. I'm just doing the announcements right now. It's not distracting. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Seafoot. Charlottesville Friend of Old Time Music. Weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Also every Monday, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. And Songwriter Night at the Local. I'm trying to hide this double chin of mine and hold up. Every Tuesday, the traditional session at the Tenuition Irish Pub. Every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pearson and Umberto Salas at the Bebadero. Every Wednesday, Clinton.
What's on Wednesday?
Oh my God, it's Wacky Wednesday.
What's on Wednesday?
Open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Open mic night at Holly Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective at Fellini's Number 9.
Bam!
DJ DG and friends at the Bebadero.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the XR Park.
Bam!
502 Fossils at the Shabin Pub in Bry.
Bam!
And the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Wacky Wednesday! Every Thursday, the Lou at the Bebadero, and also every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
John! Earth Quartets at Miller's, because every Thursday you just gotta come down to Dearth. We're gonna pay some bills, but we'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
Oh my God, 34 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Albemarle County School Superintendent, Dr. Matt Haas, talking about the challenges of his year on the job. Yeah, you should also get rid of that Confederate symbolism in your Albemarle schools. Just saying. Speaking for myself and for many, many friends. But that's neither here nor there. I guess our next guest is via phone. Are you there, Miller?
Yes, I am.
How you doing? How you doing today?
I'm great. I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just great. Miller Murray Susan, Education Director at Live Arts. How you doing today? I'm just gonna keep stretching this out until Clinton figures out the sound thing. We're good. So everybody can hear, and we're doing good things. You're the new Live Arts Education Director. I see on my script right here.
Yes. indeed I am.
We talked before. We've talked before here at Homegrown.
Indeed. And actually, I have been the education director at LiveArts before also. So I'm the old new education director.
They had to have you back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. Very glad.
Good. Talk about it.
In 2014 through 2015, I was the interim education director, and then I interviewed and helped to hire Mike Long, who was the education director from 2015 until August of this year, and then Mike and his lovely wife Maria have moved to Dubai.
What?
The United Arab Emirates.
That's what Drake's always talking about in his songs. They must got money. They must got mad money now.
I could not speak to that.
She's like, I can neither confirm nor deny the madness of their money.
I can't verify that. But I do know that they're both going to be working for the university there. The English
That's amazing.
University.
Okay, so,
yeah,
so safe travels and awesomeness to them. I hope they treat their women better than most Middle Eastern countries. So, yeah, so what's it like to be back?
I think it's a little maybe better, but I also cannot speak to that. So I hope that they will enjoy
Neither can I.
Themselves very much.
Yes.
It'll be a big adventure, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of sandy eyeballs, no contacts. What's it like to be back? And just like in just a personal perspective, like, you know, just putting on the gloves again, so to speak. And is it like riding a bike?
It's a great staff now. I mean, it always was, but it's a super great staff now that I'm happy to be a part of. I love working with Bree, who's the I think her official title is producing artistic director.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really warm and generous
incredibly person.
In the office and doing a lot of exciting things.
Yeah.
It's great to be a part of LiveArts.
Yeah. And she's really like focused on community building and also diversity and multiculturalism and plays moving forward. It seems like a really big focus of hers moving forward. Yeah. So I'm really appreciative of that. And her willingness to be open to discussions about that. And yeah, that's really helpful. Being a person of color in the theater community. So, with that being said, do you also have any like plans or like initiatives to implement into LiveArts that you felt like weren't necessarily being represented before? Yeah, that's my question.
Well, as a whole, LiveArts is really trying to increase diversity and reach out and build community in ways that we have not tried before. We're trying to be more creative and more thoughtful
mm-hmm.
about that. So Bree and I have a weekly meeting set up, and we're thinking hard and strategizing about good ways to get our educational initiatives out into the community. We did work with the Boys and Girls Club this past summer to bring in a busload of kids each day to the various camps, and that I think went pretty well. I have
mm-hmm.
my meeting with the Boys and Girls Club director in the next couple of weeks to discuss that and sort of how we want to keep that moving, and various other tackling it from various other angles as well. But that was just something that just got started last year and I think went pretty well, so I think we'll be trying to expand on that. And it's certainly an interest and a big focus of mine as well. So
yeah.
It's great to have Bree's thoughtful, creative support.
Yeah, and that's again, I appreciate that because I know that diversity and inclusion are usually big buzzwords that corporations and universities use in order to say that, yeah, we're trying to get more people of color in the door, but it sounds like you actually have like concrete like plans in order to make that happen. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Work.
Oh yeah. I mean, it benefits everyone. It makes the offerings at the theater more interesting, more reflective of our larger community. Mm-hmm. And there's no downside.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of making sure that the right people are hearing about the offerings that we have. So
yeah.
I think it's really about publicity and marketing and outreach for us. So
yeah.
yeah, so that's the aim. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have classes and for both kids and adults starting up in the next couple of weeks. And all of that's listed on our website. But a lot of people don't know that Live Arts does run classes during the year in the sort of after school time. And we have financial aid available. So, you know, that's another thing I definitely want to take this opportunity to put out there on the radio. If you have kids or if you yourself are interested in getting into the theater and doing some training, maybe you're coming back after a break, or maybe you are just getting interested in acting, we have classes available for all skill levels, experience levels, and we would love to bring you in that capacity and then hopefully see what else works for you at Live Arts.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought of something funny and then I lost my train of thought. But I was thinking about.
Hey, but you're tired because you're in ragtime right now. Speaking of life.
Yes. Is yes. Right? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Actually.
How's that going?
It's hard. I've never danced more in my entire life, actually. but no, Heather's great. Ike is great. Adrian's great. Yeah, really, really coalescing with the cast, and we are, you know, bonding as per the usual, you know, trip through a production of any you know, rehearsals for any production. So I'm not like dismissing that. It's a really great experience, and it's a change and a departure for me because I'm usually a dramatic actor, but I'm doing more musical and choreography, and it's definitely a challenge, and it's definitely outside of my wheelhouse, but I'm having fun with it, and I guess that's really what I'm just coming into every rehearsal with, is the mindset of like, hey man, just have fun, just soak in the information, don't try too hard, it's gonna come together, you're gonna get it. I think I remember my question now.
Oh great.
Yeah, I know, right? Usually it takes a while, but the engine reheats. So I wanted to ask you about the difficulties of being an education director at a theater. Because usually when people come to theater, they just want to act and they just want to be up on stage and they want to find out, how can I get up on stage? It's not necessarily, people don't necessarily think of theater as a craft that people have to get better at, like woodworking or metalworking or any type of thing that involves temperance and recreating of the same thing. Every time it's different and it's the same, but the education doesn't go away. It's like dentistry. Like you gotta go back and take seminars every now and then. So I guess my question or my comment is, talk about the importance of education and re-education of acting, not only as a newcomer or as a teenager walking through the door, but also as a person 20, 25 years in the game. Still trying to figure out how to be as authentic as possible and put on a good show.
Well, I think you halfway made my point for me, which is that it's a lifelong process of discovering and rediscovering your craft. I think that people have limited time, which I totally get.
I hear
and
that.
If they are going to spend some
and
time
energy.
In the theater, they'd like to do a little show, you know? And I completely understand that, but I think... to me, the classes, one thing that's great about them is it isn't such a big time commitment, but it's a way to get your hand in. You know, like you go, like the adult classes are on Saturdays and it's like a 2-hour, you know, time commitment over an 8-week period. And it's just a really nice way to be in the theater, meeting other people, working with various teachers. The two adult teachers we have right now, one was on Broadway for years. Her name is Mercedes. She's like amazing, so warm, so generous, has such interesting perspectives and just a lot to offer, and is a, you know, part of the advantage of taking these classes is just working with these interesting people, you know, who can really make you think about your craft in a different way. And Brian Close is going to teach a Shakespeare seminar for us on Monday nights. And he is very experienced, trained at ASC, worked for the Governor's School in North Carolina for years. I mean, these are just really interesting professional actors that we're so lucky to have in our community to kind of pick their brains and learn about, you know, their perspectives on acting, because as many actors as there are, that's how many perspectives there are on, you know, how to make it work. So
right on.
I think it's just a great, I think it's just a really neat and interesting opportunity to spend a little time with yourself, invest in yourself, invest in your continuing education.
Yeah, I completely agree. Hang tight. We're going to pay some bills and we'll be right back. All right.
Okay. Awesome.
Cool. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is Bree Luck.
And Jaden Kowal.
We're representing Live Arts and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
48 minutes past the hour. 48! And if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown.
Homegrown.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton.
What?
Miller Murray Susan is on the phone. I got to say Susan because I don't want to mispronounce. Education director, Live Arts.
Perfectly pronounced. Nice work.
Awesome. Doing the best I can. We talking about becoming better actors and how Miller's going to help me to do that as well as everybody else in Charlottesville. So do you want to like do a quick plug of, first of all, we hear that this is, there's this teen event going down at Live Arts
Indeed.
Today?
Yes. Today and tomorrow I have auditions for the Teenage Theater Workshop, which is a devised theater project. This is my fourth year directing it. And last year we had 25 kids, so we were able to do two groups, an older group and a kind of middle school age group. And we write a play and perform it.
Cool.
At Live Arts. And it's,
today?
Yeah. It's really, really interesting. The results are always creative, funny, a real window into what kids are thinking. These kids today, it's a real window into their
these kids.
Ways of relating. So,
let's drop that. What are they thinking? What are you seeing through the window?
Yeah. What's going on in the Twitters? What's happening?
One of the shows was a little more kind of straight ahead humorous, and the other one was pretty dark. It was political. It had a villain called Donald A. Badman, who wore Mickey Mouse.
I wonder who that's based on.
Yeah, wore Mickey Mouse hands and a red tie, and was pretty convinced of.
Can we talk about that for a second? Can we talk about
kind of
the effect that that the Trump administration is having on like teenagers and how you're seeing that as an education director through the teenagers' eyes? Because I know I'm talking to my nephew and niece, and my niece is like, yo, can somebody just speed this up so I can vote and get this guy out of like, she's like really like affected by it.
You know,
but so like, can you talk about that from your perspective just really quick?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, of course I do facilitate the writing of the script, but, the kids are plugged in to current events. They have passion. They have strong feelings about our world and the direction we're headed in. I also write I also teach a playwriting class in the spring, and that class wrote an environmental screed.
Huh.
You know, I like the kids are all right. And definitely this next generation, not to put too
like
much
that.
Pressure on them, but I think they're going to save the world. So
yeah.
It's a real highlight of my year to get to direct this devised theater project. I really, really love doing it, so I can't wait to get started.
That's good. That's good. I guess sometimes before the sunshine, you got to go through the storm. So let's hope that's what's happening right now. So why don't you just plug some of the new classes and some of the new events that are like. That you feel should be plugged in, that people should really be attending coming up in Live Arts this year?
Well, the fall classes will start the week of September 16th, and you can register through our website, livearts.org/education. We have a tab of education that really clearly lists out both the youth and the adult offerings. If you're a friend of Live Arts, you can get 30% off your ticket price. And if you need financial aid, you can. There's a form. There's a link to the financial aid form. We try to honor all requests for financial aid. But the classes are pretty reasonably priced anyway, so that's great. I think it's, again, just a great way to get in the door. We have especially robust offerings for younger, for kids, for 4 to 6-year-olds and 7 to 10-year-olds. But as I was mentioning earlier, we have some great, really interesting adult classes this fall. And we have TAP also. So if you would just like to come blow off some steam and TAP, we have both a beginning and an intermediate TAP class. And we have a wonderful teacher named Stephanie. So everybody should just check it out. And
TAP is back?
We'll take registrations up until the classes start. So you've got like 3 weeks to get your schedule together.
TAP is back, Clinton.
TAP is back.
Shout out to the late Gregory Hines.
Yeah. And if you happen to be a cast in a musical where suddenly you have to dance, maybe you should take TAP class.
Indeed. Indeed. yeah. All that sounds super amazing. And I do want to cut it a little short. I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Amy, what?
I got a question.
Yo, Clinton's got a question.
Bring it, Clinton.
So Miller, when you turn around and head off to Dubai, what is it that you hope to see? What effect do you hope to have seen your stint as education director at Live Arts?
I hope that we have gotten more kids in the door on a year-round basis. I think we do really well in the summer, and the summer at Live Arts is like we have the team musical, and we have tons of camps, and our summer camps sell well, and we get to see a lot of fresh faces. But I would really like for Live Arts to feel like more of a home to more kids and more different kinds of kids on a year-round basis. I'd really just like to build that community more strongly and have just lots of interesting options for teens and middle school age kids all year round. That's what I'm really hoping. I just want to expand our offerings for younger people. And of course, adult offerings are very important to me as well, but I like to hook them young. You know, you get.
But it sounds like your focus is on youth.
The only reason I still do theater is because of how much it meant to me as a kid. So it's really important to me to reach out to different kinds of kids and make them feel at home and welcome them into the theater.
Yeah, talk about that, because for those of us who got into theater when we were kids, and not just theater, but for those people who are artists who found their art when they were kids, talk about how art can be a home when there's so much, or at least can be a welcoming place when so much of the rest of the world is not really welcoming to the artist's sensibility.
I think that's really true. I think there is a lot of discipline, interesting sort of discipline and language that you learn in theater that's unique to theater. So it's not a place without structure, but I think that it's like a community out of time. It's like you've got your school people and you've got, you know, your home life, your parents, whatever. And then you go to the theater and it's a real escape into this community of like-minded people who are interested in exploring their identities. And you can be open and vulnerable to people in doing a show or a project-based, you know, kind of commitment in a way that is not easy to find in regular life. And the friends that I made as a young actor they were my heart friends. They were my deep heart friends who saw a part of me that I was not able to share in my everyday life. And it was just a real relief to have people know me in that way and to get to explore different parts of my personality. And I think that's what theater offers. It's a welcoming place. It's come as you are and find other people who are interested in coming.
I agree. And there is a bit of structure. People, come to rehearsal on time. Stop wasting your director people's time.
Come to rehearsal on time. Come on time.
Bring a pencil. Like, just do important things.
I mean, as I say, like, it's not without structure.
No, I get it.
The
No, but thank you, Miller. Thank you, Miller. I just want to cut it short because I don't want to disrespect other people. But thank you so much, and safe travels in Dubai. Like I said, no contacts.
Yeah.
Lot of lotion. Much love.
And thanks for thanks so much for having me on, guys. I hope
thank you. Thank you so much.
See you at the theater. I know we will.
All right. Definitely.
Thanks.
Cool. All right. So we'd like to thank our guests, Mike Bizarro, Miller Murray, Susan. Yeah. Great stuff. So are you going to do the blah, blah, blah? All the stuff. Yeah. Stay tuned. Sunday morning wake-up call. Rick Moore, Albemarle County School Superintendent Dr. Matt Haas, talking about the challenges of his first year on the job, and spirited comments from community members. Keep them coming, y'all. This is how we do Charlottesville. Take them all down. This is Homegrown. We love you guys. Peace.
WPVC-LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.